It's okay.
Jesus Christ returns to take us home. What a day that's going to be, huh? It's indescribable. First, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then us who are alive will be caught up in the air, and we'll live forever with our Lord again. Amen. So, what a day that will be.
There is coming a day.
Day, glorious day.
yet will be.
Amen.
And He's above all. And He makes all things possible for us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you in this beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day. Father God, you are worthy of all praises. You are our God. You are our Redeemer. You are our King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for being with us. Just like the Son says, Emmanuel, being with us. And Father God, I pray that we, on this beautiful Sabbath day, Lord, that we will worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we, Father, also thank you and for Father and appreciate, Lord, that you send your servant Pastor Edwin Mendoza to this church, Lord. We thank you, Father, because he is here because of you. Father God, you know the needs of all of us. You know the needs of this church, Lord. And Father, we thank you and we praise you and we ask, Father, that you bless all of us here, all your children. And that we all, Father, will give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother David and I will do a brief message. I would like to do another prayer to invite the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us, Father, and we, at this moment, Father, we ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit be within us, Father. We invite your Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead and guide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this message is about, because the topic is men after God. And we are doing this appreciation for Pastor. We are showing him how much we appreciate him. So I choose David. David, as we know, he was a man after God's heart. And we can see how much David loved the Lord. The faith, the trust that he put in the Lord. David went through many trials and through many tribulations. He was persecuted by King Saul and the enemies around all the towns around. But he always held on to the Lord, and he always was coming to the Lord on everything. And the Bible said that David was praying morning, evening, night, and he was always in communion with the Lord. That is, we can see in the Psalms, when we read the Psalms, the way he speaks to the Lord. I mean, the Psalms are so beautiful, the way he exalts the Lord. It's very, very beautiful. Even when he fell in sin, and when he knew that he sinned, he came with a contrite heart, and he asked God for forgiveness. He was so hurt that he sinned against the Lord, that the Lord, he forgave him, he pardoned him. And it's the same way, you know, God, he pardoned us when we come with a contrite heart. But also David was, when he was a young man, he was a young man helping his father, taking care of the sheep in the fields. And he constantly was fighting with the lions, with bears. They wanted to take the sheep of the flock, but he didn't let them. He went, he fought with those, he killed them. And where he got all that strength? That strength, he got that strength from the Lord. Because while he was taking care of the sheep in the fields, he was always playing his instruments and singing to the Lord. And he was always, like I said, in prayer and in communion. So he had the strength of his spirit. His spirit was strengthened by the Lord. That's why he was not afraid of to go and fight with those bears and lions. And he came always victorious in all his trials and all his troubles that he had. And that's why I told Pastor, he reminded me of King David, because Pastor is the man of God. He takes care of the flock of the Lord. He does many things. You know, he plants churches. He does a lot of counseling. He's always there when we come with problems, when we come to talk to him. He always makes time. He's always available. And that is because God is in his heart. And he wants to serve the Lord. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to take care of the flock that God had commanded him to take care. Because God sent him here to take care of this church and also the Spanish church. So I praise the Lord for him. And I wanted to read, you know, like when King David went to fight Goliath, this big giant, that everybody was scared of fighting him. And there was a war between the Philistines. The Philistines came to fight with Israel. And that time, King Saul was the king.
But even King Saul was afraid to go and fight with Goliath. He was, and King Saul was a tall guy according to the scripture. He was a very tall man, a big man. And King David was a very young shepherd boy. And King David, King David's brother was, they were on the field they work with the army of Israel. And King David's father, Jesse, sent David to go and take some food for his brothers. When he went over there, he heard this giant Goliath, cursing the army of Israel, and cursing the Lord and saying all kind of bad things to them, because Goliath wanted them to come and fight with him, but nobody wanted to fight with him because he was killing everybody. And David said, "Who is this that is offending the army of the Lord and is offending the Most High, our Lord?" And he said, "I will go and I'll kill him." And they went and they told Saul that David wanted to go and fight with Goliath. So Saul said, "Okay, bring him to me." And he went, and this is what Saul said to David: "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So Goliath was a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the bear and struck and killed it. So, and then Saul said, "Okay, go and kill him." And he put the armor, those heavy armors that they used to wear. But it was so big for David that he couldn't do anything. So he just took it off, and he got his bag with his sling and 5 rocks that he got. He put it in his bag, and he went to fight the Goliath. Why he went just with a sling and 5 rocks? Because he didn't trust in this armor, in the army, those things that they were, the weapons they were battling with. His trust was in the Lord. And he put all the trust and his faith and the trust on the Lord. He said, "I will do it. In the name of the Lord, I will kill this giant." And the scripture said that everybody that went to fight with him, that tried to, when they saw the giant coming and they tried to advance close to the giant, they just were going back scared because they know they were going to be killed. But it didn't happen with David, because David was with his faith and trust in the Lord. And he says, the scripture said that when David went to fight with the giant, and Goliath was mad because he thought that they were laughing at him sending this young boy. But, and the scripture said that when Goliath was going towards David, that David he, instead of running back, he ran forward. And he got his rock from the back, he put it in the sling, and he shot it on the head, on the forehead. The Goliath fell on the floor, and he went and jumped and took his sword and killed him right there. But this is because when David was going to fight with him, and he told Goliath, you come with your all your armor and everything, but I come in the name of the Lord. And that's when he threw the rock. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. And that's why he killed him. So my brothers and sisters, we all face these trials and everything, these giant things. These are giants, you know, the trials that come, the tribulations are giants that come our way. But with our faith and our trust in the Lord, we come victory from those giants, and we can kill those giants just keeping our faith and trust in the Lord. So I just thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy and for being with us. And believe me, when we put our trust in the Lord, just like the message of being faithful to the Lord and putting our trust in the Lord, just like the message that Sister Linda put this morning, it was a wonderful message. And how God does wonders when we allow him to work in us, when we surrender our hearts to him and let him lead our lives. So I will invite you to put your faith and entrust on the Lord. And Brother David will continue.
Why I choose Abraham in the story of the way how we appreciate our pastor. The story of Abraham takes a lot of time that we'll be able to understand more what is the calling he has from God. But I want to just summarize it in an area to where how God can use a person and be a God, a man of God. We all know that Abraham was very also religious in an area of the area of religious matter, but what I truly understand is that God chose him for a way to have the lineage of where we at this moment. We all know that his name was first Abraham, which means the Father is exalted. His name was changed to Abraham, which means Father of Multitude. When God made the covenant with him, we find it, the story of Abraham, you can find it in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, up to 25. Abraham was promised with a son to continue receiving the area of what God has called him for. But we all know that area that he was in area just because he was a chosen one or a man of God. We are not perfect. God is only the one that is perfect. At some point he became impatient in a way that because of the AIDS that he has, he took it upon his hand, that his wife, because of their AIDS, like I said, so that you can have a son, she even told his husband, Abraham, to lie down with their maidservant so that they can have a son, which became Ishmael. But that wasn't the plan God had given. They will have a union together with Abraham and Sarah to have these lineages that will take part. In the area that you read through those chapters that I just said, you find it that because of their ages, they were in their 90s. At the time, they were told that they will have a son of their own. Sarah even laughed and said, "How could that be possible? I'm already at this age." But because of the faithfulness he had with God, they gave them both a son of their own union in the area of what God had given them, and his name is Isaac. Despite in their area, a people person, along the area of this journey that they have, he was called, leaving his hometown, a town called Ur. He went to what God had promised them to go through. In that area of separation that he had with his cousin, Lot, he was humble enough to give Lot the first choice of what when they divided themselves. He knew, he was foretold that his cousin Lot was in trouble because of what happened in the Tower of Babel. He went to rescue him, despite the area of they have a little bit of friction. But a man of God, in that area, he bargained with God because he wants, like I said, he is a people person. He bargained with God that if there's 50, 40, 30, and so forth, will you not save the town? In an area to a point that only Lot family himself was saved. Yes, why his wife was running away, but she looked back and she became, what's called a statue, became a statue in that area. But aside from that story, because of time not permitting, one area that I find it so, because that promise was given a son of their own, to value the union that he and Sarah had, their own son, and again, God called him to sacrifice his son. How hurtful can it be in that area to sacrifice your own son? But in an area that as he was journeying in this area, he understood that God will provide. And in an area also that his faith, that even though he took his son to be a sacrifice, there's two verses in those chapters that he foreknew that God will deliver and his son will not be killed. But even though if he will be killed, he knows that he will resurrect him at the resurrection day. But I like that area. There's a verse that he said to his disciples, "What's here? And we will come back with you." His faith was so secure in the area that his son and him will go back alive together. But they went along to go to this mountain to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac even questioned him, "Father, where is the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide. But as he was bundling, tying down his son, deep inside of him, I truly believe that really God will provide. And also, as a son learning from his father willingness, Isaac volunteered himself willingly. Yes, Abraham took him, bind him, put him on top of the altar. And we all know that story. As he was about to strike him, an angel of the Lord held his hand. And when he looked around, there was a ram caught in a bush. And that became a sacrifice, a lamb. Which foreshadow the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. What happened of the sacrifices of Abraham to Isaac foreshadow the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. The question may ask, what was Abraham's life and calling has to do with our pastor? Yes, pastor also left El Salvador to America, not knowing where he will be leading into the place he was used to in El Salvador. He was learning, like the message he was saying, the story that he said, at 7 years old, he was able to give Bible to somebody. And I believe he has given his first sermon at the very early age. But leaving his hometown, his comfort place, coming to America, not knowing where he will reside. But I truly believe that the learning he has from his father take a lot of the importance of knowing to be a man of God. At that moment, he would not know really that he had a call. But as time permits, that as he was studying and so forth, I truly believe that in that area, that as that early age giving a message or a sermon, he understood also that what his father was doing, listening to the sermon after sermon, I truly believe that all those also was implanted within him. Why he was the only one right now continuing the journey of his father? Because he was chosen to lead out also the ministry. Yes, knowing him also was that when he was here in America, getting all the degree he has, as you guys know, he has many letters before him. CPA, MBA, name it after name it. He was able to hold a job in the corporate world, making tons of money, but a call again from the work of the Lord. He chose to serve God. From Maryland to here, as was called to be our pastor, would he know where he was leading? I believe he came for a visit before accepting a job. But again, the challenge from one place to another place, that knowingly that the center of silicon industry, which the economy is much higher and greater, and coming from one place to another, from a much lower economy, and coming to this place, people, a lot of people back off because of that. But again, he put God first, and he will trust him like what Abraham trusted him, that God will provide. Yes, in Ephesians 4:11, which let's open that to, I want to open it to Ephesians 4:11, where it says it is, allow me to read that. And he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, it is an area of calling that each of us, the lesson that we have this morning, many are chosen. Many are chosen, but few are called. Yes, in these areas of position, that for a man of God, the area that you must always, in this area of pastoring, I want to touch on in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. The Bible reads, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do things that pleases him. Because this passage that I just read to you, that's why we have our pastor, a man of God. Because he carry, he edify who Jesus is in his life. Yes, many crossroads he had gone through. Like what one of the praises and the gratitude that one of our members, one of our brother here, have said that pastor had many crossroads also in his life. He could have easily gone that way or blamed God, but it's just God to serve. Pastor, very much thank you so much for that 4 years that you've been with us. And thank you so much for just helping me also in the area of leading San Jose Central. The Bible speaks that it is an area of our willingly that permits God work into our life. Where we learn in this area of a man of God or a woman of God to serve him the way how our ancestors had led them in a way to continue the service, what God had promised, had given us a responsibility to do. Time is nearing, friends, that we should not take this for granted in a way to allow Jesus to return soon. May God bless each and every one of us in the area of a gift, that all of us has a gift in the area to serve God. God bless us all.
A man of God, huh? Is that easy to do? Huh? Let me just use 5 minutes here. I guess just to do an appeal. Let me tell you that sometimes when God calls, we just ignore his calling. Why? Because we are afraid. Why? Because we don't know what the future will hold. But I would like to say to you what the Bible says, especially in the book of Romans, and that this book has, believe it or not, become my identity in a way. But this is what God wants from people who wants to be men of God. Romans chapter 12. Look what it says, verse 1, and I will read all the way to maybe verse 2. Look what it says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. This is good, pleasing and perfect will. My brothers and sisters, if you want to become a man of a woman of God, you have to do what pleases God. You have to do his will. And that is not easy, to do God's will, because one way or another, our will succeed. God's will, believe it or not. But how can we do this? How can you become a man of a woman of the Lord? Well, first you have to be transformed. And that transformation only comes from who? From God, the one who calls you to become his servant. Timothy, 1 Timothy, I will say, chapter 6. Look what he says. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance, and gentleness. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. So, but you, men of God, what does the word of God say? Flee from all this. What is this? Flee from all those things that basically discourage you. Flee from all those things that dishonor God. Flee from all those things that one way or another will defeat you. Oh, my brothers, my sister, there is nothing better than serving the Lord. Amen. There is nothing better than doing God's will. And you might be asking, but what do I need to do in order to become God's servant? I will read to you. You know what? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter about all the things that you said about myself. It doesn't matter. What matters is this. And believe it or not, this is my prayer. This is what I, every morning, this is what I tell the Lord. This is what I tell myself, that it doesn't matter what I have done. Because it's not about good deeds. That's what the Bible says, right? It's not about that. It's all about the grace of God. It's all about the love that God has for me. It's all about if I'm being approved by the Lord. I might be approved by you, but would I be approved by the Lord? My brothers and sisters, and maybe this should be your prayer too, because at the end of the day, this is what it matters. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for this, for his appearance. My brother, at the end of the day, it's all about if you have fought the good fight, the fight of faith. Will God find you faithful to him? Will God find you faithful to him? That is the question. That is the question that every man of God, every woman of God should ask. Will God find me faithful to him? My brothers, I don't know. I don't know if you, just like David, the story that we heard. I don't know what is your giant. I don't know what you're facing in your life. But I don't know if those kind of things are the ones that actually are keeping you from becoming the man or the woman of the Lord that God wants you to be. I don't know. I tell you that I have faced many giants. Many giants. And I know for a fact that I will continue facing many giants. But I had learned one thing. That with God, you will always gain victory. Amen. And it doesn't matter what your giant is. I don't know if your giant might be, maybe it might be something that you've been hiding from the Lord. Well, my brother and sister, it's about time for you to realize and to know that nothing can be hide from God, because God knows it all. And all you have to do is to surrender that to the Lord. All you have to do is to say, God, please free me from this. Your giant might be that. Your giant might be what is basically keeping you as a prisoner. Maybe it might be your work. Maybe it might be an addiction. But let me tell you that you can do all things in God who is strengthening you. You can do all things. All things. With God, you will never fail. Maybe your giant might be fear. We heard, thank you, David. We heard about Abraham. Maybe you might not know where God wants you to be. Maybe it might be that fear that God is calling you to serve. And maybe you don't want to serve God because you fear that the church, the people, might reprove you. Maybe the people might not accept you. Well, let me tell you that it's not about people either. It's all about God. It's all about God. And I want to ask you this morning, do you want to be a man? Do you want to be a woman of God? Do you? Well, it's about time for you to make the decision. It's about time for you to say, Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. Because at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about God. It's about the one who loves you. It's about the one who gave his only begotten son. And he did it for you. He did it for me. What will your response be if God is calling you to become a righteous woman, a righteous man for God? Will your answer be, yes, Lord, here I am. I am the man. I am the woman of the Lord. I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray. Prayer, my brothers and sisters, should be essential in our life. Prayer and the reading of the scripture should be essential. Believe me, if it wasn't for the scripture, And if it wasn't for prayer, I wouldn't be here today. And I know you wouldn't either. So who would like to take, who would like to, in a way, say, Lord, here I am. I want to become a man. I want to become a woman of God. Would you like to join me? Praise the Lord. I want to thank God. I want to thank God for you. Amen. I want to thank God because, believe it or not, the pastor that I am, it wouldn't be also without you. It wouldn't be without you. It wouldn't be without your encouragement. It wouldn't be without your prayers. It wouldn't be without your help. I wouldn't be the kind of pastor I am. And I thank you. But mostly I thank God. I thank God for you. I thank God for your family. I thank God for your children. And I thank God for this church, for this house of prayer, which now we still have the liberty to be able to come and to praise the Lord. My brothers and sisters, there's a lot to do. God is coming soon. God is coming soon. How many of you say amen? Amen. Yes, God is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. Will you be prepared? Will you be ready? For when God comes, I want to be ready. And I want you to be there. Because I believe in, I want to see you in heaven. And I want to see all of your families. And you know what you need to do. Just, I know what God has put in my heart. I know God has put something in your heart. And I know what that is. That is for you and me to do His will. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath. Father, I want to thank you for this family. Thank you, Lord, for the leadership of this church. I want to thank you, Lord, for all of your sons and daughters, Father, that they have rejected many things. They have rejected the world. They have rejected, they have sacrificed better jobs, better opportunities, Father, because they love you, because they care for you, Lord, and because they want to do your will. So, Father, I want to ask, Lord, that you may protect them, that you may abide within their life, that you may guide them, that you may strengthen them, that you may give them the wisdom that comes from above, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, because you have given me the privilege to be this minister, to minister to all your people, Lord, all your children. Oh, Father, I wouldn't been able to do this if it wasn't because of you, Father. And I want to thank you for that opportunity. Yes, they might see on me all the things, Father, that you can do for them too, Father. Yes, they might see that I'm someone that cares, that I'm someone that devotes time, that I'm someone that encourages them, Father. But I know it's not me, Lord. I know it is you. Because I love you, Father. And you know I want to do your will. You know I want to do the best that I can for your honor and for your glory. So, Father, I ask that you may strengthen them. That you may be with them, Lord. That you may be with their families too, Father. So that eventually, Lord, when you come in majesty and in glory, when you come, Father, for all of us, may all of us be approved to you, Father, because we have done your will. So, Lord, bless us and continue to strengthen us. May the Holy Spirit shine upon our lives so that many people may see Jesus' character in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath. Thank you, Father, for all that encouragement. Thank you for all the things that we don't deserve, Lord. But we know that you're a Father of love. You're a Father that will provide, especially that you will provide our needs. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.